Today is the last Sunday after Pentecost. It is also the feast of Saint John of the Cross, and he is the second oration in the Mass today. The epistle for today's Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel. It's taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains. And he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that nurse in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been found from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If they therefore shall say to you, 'Behold, he is in the desert,' go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closets, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the eagles also be gathered together. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and with a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all these things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as has not been found from the beginning of the world until now. These words are taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My dear friends, in the year 167 BC, the Syrian king, King Antiochus IV, stormed Jerusalem at the head of his army. After slaughtering 40,000 Israelites, Antiochus then turned his fury towards the temple. He ordered the Jewish priests to be executed within the sanctuary of the temple, and then he commanded the sacred vessels to be desecrated and then broken. The holy books were torn and burnt, an image of the Greek god Zeus was set up in the temple. And thus the temple of the true God became the temple of the pagan god. Antiochus then issued an edict to the whole nation. In this decree, he proclaimed that the worship of the pagan Greek gods was henceforth to be the official religion of the nation. All were forbidden to practice any religion but that of the state, even as the Jews were forbidden to observe the divine laws of Almighty God. The penalty for transgressing the laws of the state was death. The soldiers of the king went throughout the Holy Land. They went to every city, even to the smallest towns and villages. And there they set up altars to the pagan gods. The people were ordered to participate in these sacrifices. And if they refused, they were put to death on the spot. Now, in spring of 166 BC, a pagan military patrol came to a small mountain village called Modin. And there the soldiers set up an altar, and they prepared a false sacrifice. All the people of Modin were then ordered to the village square. Now, at this time, the prominent family of the town was the family of a man named Mathathias. Mathathias was a Jewish priest, and he had five sons. His third son, Judas, had been nicknamed Maccabeus, which means the hammer, because of his indomitable courage. And thus the five brothers came to be known as the Maccabees. Now the pagan soldiers believed that the people would more readily cooperate if the town's most important citizen would be the first to offer sacrifice. And so they called Mathathias forward. But Mathathias refused. It was then that another villager came from the crowd and offered to perform the sacrifice in place of Mathathias. This act of apostasy filled Mathathias with holy indignation. To prevent this horrible blasphemy, he attacked the apostate villager, and then he turned on the commander of the army patrol. Inspired by his example, the Maccabee brothers and the remaining villagers rose up, and they killed the rest of the guards and the soldiers. At that moment, Mathathias cried out for all to hear, "Everyone that hath zeal for the law of God, let him follow me." With the help of God, the Maccabees and the faithful Jews were prepared to fight for their faith, overthrow Antiochus, and retake the temple for the true God. Less than a year later, Mathathias died. But before he died, he exhorted his sons to persevere in the faith. He said, "Remember, O my sons, that none who trust in God ever fail in strength." With the passing of his father, Judas Maccabeus assumed command of the army. Now he knew that the Jews would have no hope of defeating the Greeks in open field combat because they were outnumbered. And so Judas planned to fight with hit-and-run raids, with ambushes, and ultimately with the destruction of the pagan altars. And his plan was very successful. For in the space of about 2 years, Judas Maccabeus led the faithful Jews to a number of magnificent victories. By December of 164, the Maccabees had control of virtually the entire Holy Land. And on December 25th of that year, they retook the temple of God. After destroying the pagan idols, the temple was purified and reconsecrated to the true God. On his way to take revenge on the Maccabees, King Antiochus was struck with a flesh-rotting disease, and he died a most miserable death. And thus, the worship of the true God once again reigned supreme in the Holy Land. Now, in the gospel today, my dear friends, our divine Savior reveals two prophecies, the destruction of Jerusalem and the end of the world. The prophecy of the destruction of Jerusalem was fulfilled almost 2,000 years ago in 70 AD. The prophecy of the coming of the end of the world, however, is yet to come. When it will come, no one can be certain, but that it will come, that we know for certain. Now, even though we do not know when the world will end, certain signs have nevertheless been recorded in sacred scripture, signs which will precede the end of the world and the second coming of Christ. Some of these signs are the preaching of the gospel throughout the whole world, the great falling away from the faith, which is also called the great apostasy, the coming of the Antichrist, referred to by St. Paul as the man of sin and the son of perdition, and many severe tribulations, such as wars, famines, earthquakes, disease, and violent persecutions of the faithful. Tribulations so great, says our Lord, that there have been nothing like them from the beginning of the world. I personally believe that we are living in the midst of the great apostasy. For in the wake of the Second Vatican Council, something unprecedented in the whole history of the Church has happened. Millions upon millions of Catholics have lost their faith. In his second epistle to the Thessalonians, St. Paul wrote about the falling away that would precede the end of the world. He said that before the world ends, there will be a great apostasy from the faith, a revolt, an unprecedented loss of faith among Catholics, and then the Antichrist will come. The Antichrist, a man in league with Satan, the most evil man who will ever live, a man of lawlessness, who will oppose God and make himself, as it were, God. With Satan's help, then, the Antichrist will bring virtually the entire world under his subjection, and he will demand to be worshipped by all as God. The penalty for refusing to worship him will be death. He will enact so-called laws that sanction sin, laws which are directly opposed to the law of God, even as the worship of the true God will be forbidden. But is this not, my dear friends, what is already happening today? Are not quote-unquote laws that give license to sin and vice being legislated today? So-called laws approving and promoting abortion, unnatural vice, and the dissolution of marriage. And although the Antichrist will outlaw the holy sacrifice of the Mass at the end of the world, has not the true worship of God already been abolished from the world for the most part by the destructive reforms of the Second Vatican Council? I don't think that there is any question about it. The world is being prepared for the Antichrist. As the prophets prepared the way for the first coming of Christ, so too are the political and religious leaders of today, in particular Francis, the head of the new church. So too are they paving the way for the Antichrist. They are paving his way by working to establish a one-world government flanked by a one-world religion. A one-world government that will be ruled by the Antichrist, a one-world religion that will worship him. We are, my dear friends, living in dark and difficult times, times in which our faith and our morals are being attacked on all sides. As it was for the Maccabees, the battle for our faith is upon us. We must then fight for our salvation, for there is no such thing as neutrality in this war. We either fight the combat for our soul, or we will fall. For our divine Savior said, "He that is not with me is against me." It may at times be difficult. It may at times seem like a lost cause. But we must not lose hope. We must not lose courage. We must never forget that the church is indefectible. She will last until the end of time, and the gates of hell shall never prevail against her. And remember, as Mattathias told his sons, remember that none who trust in God ever fail in strength. With great confidence in God, then, we must be prepared to stand up for our faith as the Maccabees stood up for theirs against King Antiochus. As the Maccabees resisted the unholy laws of the king, as they fought against the false worship demanded by him, and as they persevered in the true faith, in the face of persecution and death, we must be prepared to do the same. Let us then stand firm in the practice of our Catholic faith. Let us stand fast, as St. Paul says, and hold the traditions which we have received. Let us hold to the divinely revealed teachings of the Catholic faith, her sacred teachings on faith and morals. And let us hold to the true sacrifice of the Mass. May we never be deceived by the modernists who cloak their heresy with the name Catholic. And may we never compromise with the new church, which is destroying the faith of millions on the left side, and which on the right side is leading millions more astray in the name of tradition with the so-called indult mass. Let us rather resolve to attend the true mass with more attention and devotion. Let us obey God's commandments which are scorned by the world today. Like the Maccabees, let us show zeal for the law of God by keeping God's law with greater care. And if we would be especially effective in the defense of our faith, we must cultivate a strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Let us wear her brown scapular and pray her rosary every day, and we will be sure to win her protection. For if we are devoted to her, we will keep the faith, and we will share in her triumph, which she foretold at Fatima, when she said, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph." No matter what happens in this world, my dear friends, we must trust in God as the Maccabees did. Let us take courage and never lose hope. The victory is already won. We need only persevere in the one true faith, and we will share in this victory for all eternity. Ever mindful of our divine Savior's promise, he who perseveres to the end, he will be saved. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.